helping to make our community a better place. This is the WOKV Ask the Experts Weekend, discussing the things that matter most to you. Have a question? Have it answered by our local experts. Call 340-1045. That's 340-1045. Now, the Home and Garden Show with Wally Conway and Larry O'Neill on News 104.5 WOKV.
Good morning. Welcome to the Home and Garden Show. It is 7:08 on a beautiful Saturday morning in Jacksonville, Florida, the intergalactic headquarters of the Home and Garden Show. To our friends, to our fans, to our families, welcome back to the show. We have missed you. To those of you new to the show, here is who we are and what we do. Each and every Saturday, right here on News 104.5 WOKV, I'm joined by the big guy, Sasquatch, the Yeti, 6'6", 232 pounds of twisted steel and sex appeal, Mr. Larry O'Neill.
Yep.
You know Larry from his duties on TV as the host of Larry's Garden. You've seen him about town landscaping. He's the tall, tall man in the small straw hat. Me, Wally Conway, Mr. Home Inspection, certified master inspector from Home Pro Inspections. You've seen me on HGTV as the house detective, and possibly about town if you spend time in attics and crawl spaces. Larry's job here on the show is to be sure your grass is green, your fruit is sweet, and your flowers forever in bloom. Me, Wally Conway, Mr. Home Inspection, my job is to be sure your home is safe, secure, efficient, and forever a source of pleasure and pride. From time to time, Larry gets a house idea, I get a garden idea, and we mix it up in the middle. But what makes the show fun for us is you, your thoughts, your calls, your commentary. 340-1045, 340-1045. And if you're calling from Freeport in the Grand Bahamas.
Freeport?
As I am, sir. Sunrise over the Caribbean Sea right here in Freeport in the Grand Bahamas. If you're here with me or nearby, you need the country code 001. And then like all people in America, 904-340-1045. Sasquatch, large man,
yep.
Though I be here in the Bahamas, believe it or not, I am working and I have three things on my mind.
May I share? My gosh.
I surprised you with that, didn't I?
Yeah.
The three things on my mind this fine morning, beautiful sunrise, wall insulation, fire extinguishers,
mm-hmm.
structural warranties. Had a guy call Larry the other day
mm-hmm.
into the office. He bought a really nice older block home over in the south side area. You know, they're slab on grade, block all the way around. They're built like bunkers. They're wonderful homes.
Yep.
He was a little concerned about his energy bill and some other things, and specifically what he was looking to do was insulate those now 50-year-old block walls and was looking for a practical and affordable way to do it. And I searched through my brain and my database, and I did a little research. There really isn't one. You know, those great block homes, those walls, they're so sturdy. They don't leak air. They're just a little bit less energy efficient. And when you look at the choices of how to insulate them, they're either quite expensive or high risk
mm-hmm.
and seldom perform well. So there's some technologies where you can induce a very low-density foam into the cavities of the block.
Mm-hmm.
Very hard to get good coverage. There's some other folks who have
shade
made
tree.
The effort. Yeah.
On the south side, that's the hottest side. That would be it.
Shade, you know, I'm with you, buddy, on that one. There's nothing that is better than shade as far as efficiency and comfort
right.
and beauty when it comes to that. There's some other folks that have some systems. They'll put styrofoam panels on the outside, then stucco over it, run a lot of moisture issues. So my two cents, my research, our experience of 35,000 houses, if you've got glorious old block walls in your house, just enjoy them and look for other areas to increase comfort.
They are solid.
Expense. They are. I love it.
Yep.
Number two, fire extinguishers. As you know, I've become quite the fire extinguisher guy lately.
Yep.
Believe it or not, on this day, February 10th, 1863, fire extinguisher was invented by Allenson Crane up in Virginia.
Allenson Crane.
Kind of take things. Yeah, I never met him. He's passed away a while ago. But it's odd, you know. There's things that have become so commonplace, and that was when the first patent was taking place.
Mm-hmm.
And believe it or not, there's still a sizable percentage of people in our town and towns all across the country, maybe even here in the Bahamas, that don't have a fire extinguisher in their home or vehicle. So
wow.
Show your loved one. Valentine's Day is coming up, Larry.
That would get you in trouble.
Do you know why fire? Wait, listen to this. Do you know why fire extinguishers are red?
No. Because fire's red.
For Valentine's Day.
Yeah. Okay, okay. All right,
yeah,
got it.
Gave Mrs. Crane a fire extinguisher in 1863 on Valentine's Day, and it's pretty well stuck.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Yeah. You're taking your. You might need that fire extinguisher if she lights you on fire after you give her that for Valentine's Day.
I was going to say that. You're right, man.
Okay.
And the third thing I wanted to share with you is structural warranties. Mm-hmm. When I buy a brand new home, it is common. It happens virtually every time. The builder puts a nice long structural warranty on the home should there ever be some significant structural failure. And that's a good thing, and that protects you really well. The question becomes, if you're buying a home where that's expired, so the house is, you know, 5 years old, 10 years old, 20 years old, 70 years old, 162 years old, can you get a structural warranty to protect you against future structural failure? And up until this week, the answer across America has been no. It's actually what I'm doing here in the Bahamas. I'm meeting with the folks who have built this program. There's a company now called Next, NXT, nextwarranty.com, that writes structural warranties on existing homes. That has never happened before in America. No company's figured out how to do it in a cost-effective way, and it now exists. There's one small caveat for Next warranty company to be able to write a structural warranty on an existing home. Take a big, hairy guess what it is.
Water filter.
Water. No, the one caveat is it needs to be inspected by a qualified expert approved by the company. So anyway, it's kind of a neat thing when you're getting ready to sell a home or buy a home, and the buyer seller's just got that little nervous thing or looking to get a competitive edge. There's now a way to do that for less than $400. It's pretty amazing.
Well, I think you need to explain a little some of the details of the structural warranty. What is the difference between a structural, what is the basic things it covers, a structural warranty covers?
Well, that's a fair question. The typical home warranty, and as you know, the RWS offers the 18-month warranty, it's all part of that same network, is really for systems, appliances, roof leaks, and things of that, and it's immensely limited for structural. So to give you an example, the kind of things would be footings, foundations, slabs, beams, girders, masonry arches, columns, load-bearing walls, partitions, roofing systems, floor systems, those kind of things. The true bones of the home, which are typically excluded in homeowners insurance, are typically excluded in traditional home warranty packages. So it's a neat piece of comfort. You can sleep a little better, and that's cool. What's exciting in your week, sir?
Hey, this is the time of the year, everybody starts wandering out into the garden. I mean, if the weather's been starting to warm up. I'm saying it may be an early spring, but I wouldn't get too excited. But, a lot of times, you're wandering in the local garden center and you see these bare root roses, and they're fairly reasonable. Some of the things you want to avoid are buying the ones with wax on it. If you buy the canes, or which are the branches with wax on them, you got to try to gently remove some of that, or start them really early.
Is that wax put on there by the nursery?
Yes, it's put on by the nursery and the shipping. I prefer over the years, I've been growing roses and ordered thousands of bare root roses, thousands and thousands, because we used to put them into containers and grow them out ourselves for sale, is the ones you can order directly from the grower. And there's a lot of growers, David Austin roses, if you like English roses, is a great opportunity to get them. And there's a much more variety available at this time. They're digging them and they're prepared to ship. So when you just go through the catalogs, pick out what you want. It's not that complicated, really, to start a bare root rose. You got to make sure that when you receive the rose, you soak it in water overnight with a little bit of fish emulsion, a little bit of Miracle-Gro, and that will be the first step that you get going on them. And then, and if you buy them from the local hardware store, soak them in water. Make sure that they get.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
When you say bare root rose, is that a type of rose, or is that
it's a rose
when it's purchased?
It's a rose that's completely dug up. It's dug up. All you're going to receive is a small portion of the graft at end and the roots, and there's not going to be any dirt on it. But so it's very easy to start these if you do follow directions. And
that leaves me out.
Most of my roses, you know, I started with bare root. And, you know, because of the great variety available this time, it's a good time to start a rose, and we're cooler. They don't normally ship them in the warm weather. They only ship them when they're in the cold months. So you want, when you get your, dig your hole, dig it around 2 feet, 2.5 feet in diameter, and make sure you put plenty of compost, bone meal in there. Those are the type of things. Blood meal, you know, make it rich, because roses like a lot of a good rich soil, a little bit of peat in there to make sure it's moisture retentive, and then you just go ahead and water it every day for about a week, and then every other day for the second week. This is going to ensure you good results. The rose should start to leaf out immediately. With less than a week with this warmer weather, you know, warm weather for a rose is 65 to 75. It's that will get them going. Then after about a week, you want to start on the fertilizer, fish emulsion, and a Miracle-Gro rose fertilizer is my favorite combination, and you'll get a great result. You'll have some unbelievable variety. So consider bare root roses. They're available all over right now. Rose Emporium, Jackson Perkins are some of the companies. David Austin are some of the companies that I've used over historically.
Do I go to a local nursery to do that, or can I just do that online and they ship it to me?
Well, I prefer myself, you know, the order them online. Order them online. Because you're not going to get the wax-coated canes. Even though they're a little more expensive, you're going to get a better result. You're going to the long-term result is going to be better. So
that's interesting. That's one of the first times I've heard you prefer the online.
Yeah,
that's pretty fascinating.
Yeah, well,
it's 720.
Go ahead. Sorry.
It's 720 here at News 104.5. Very brief. Jumping right on phones to your calls at 340-1045. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Home and Garden Show, 726, beautiful Saturday morning in Jacksonville, Florida. If you'd like to join us on the Home and Garden Show, love to hear from you, 340-1045. Hey, Larry, I was remiss in the open on the fire extinguisher commentary.
Yes.
Well, you know, Dan Miller from Glodea, he's a local inventor and kind of a genius. He sends me a lot of those tips, and I didn't give him fair credit on that. I got that from him. I didn't make that one up on my own.
Okay.
Dan Miller. Dan either researched it or made it up. Could have been either one.
Okay.
You got to be a little entertaining.
Yeah.
I got a question for you on citrus.
Yes.
I got the 9 citrus trees. This year was not a bumper crop. I finally removed the last of the grapefruits this year, and here we are. We're in mid-February. I'm intending on having 2018 to be my greatest citrus year ever.
Okay.
Is it time to do that 10% trim back, or wait a little longer?
I'd wait a little longer, because, you know, Florida, you know, North Florida can always surprise you, you know, with a late freeze. I'd wait at least till March on citrus. Okay. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's throwing the dice. Sometimes, you know, we have just a normal, you know, warm up, and it progresses normal with no surprises. But the problem with citrus, it is more of a tropical fruit. And, you know, if it has that, you trim right now and fertilize, it's going to, you know, put out some new growth. And if it gets cold, that new growth will burn, and it will slow down the process of you know, getting the next set of new growth on there. It sets it back.
So if I wait till the Ides of March, I will be out of that.
Yeah, I think you'll be in good shape.
Even if you
prune on the Ides of March, even if it freezes at that time, I don't think the new growth would have come out that fast. Okay.
Okay, got it. So let me ask you this then. If I'm just budgeting that day as my citrus accelerator day,
yes,
I do my 10% trim, is it appropriate to do my big load of black cow and then hit it with fish emulsion?
Absolutely. Let's get going. Get going. Yeah. Get all the wheelbarrow out.
get it all done at the one time.
Yeah. Get Tanya out there in the wheelbarrow. They'll help you push that thing around.
Tanya's got an Adirondack chair, and she supervises.
Oh, she's going to supervise you this year? Okay. All right.
She supervises every year. She says, honey, you wanted them. Those are yours.
Okay.
Anyway, it's working out pretty good. The Quick reminder also, if you're looking for a large landscape or any time during the week, easy to find all the time online, larrysgarden.com. Got the blog, got the video, frequently asked questions, and more than 2,000 active bloggers. God only knows what garden people blog about. I guess I could blog about
okay.
And website's looking good for Larry, too, larrysgarden.com. Looking for me during the week, easy to find all the time online, GoHomePro.com. All your home inspection needs, commercial building, due diligence of any sort relating to things you need around the house. Happy to have you. GoHomePro.com. And the telephone, 268-8211. It's 7:30 here at News 104.5. We've got Fox News traffic, weather, and more of the Home and Garden Show featuring you. 340-1045. Stay with us. Right back. Welcome back to the Home and Garden Show, 7:36. Larry and I are staying focused with us and playing today together, taking your call at 340-1045. You know, Larry, more often than not, when people call our office, yeah, it's for a home inspection. But beyond that, we get more and more and more. Somebody's got a crazy problem in their home. And had the opportunity to troubleshoot a roof problem the other day. I wanted to share with you real briefly.
Sure.
You know how I love standing seam metal roof.
Yes, I know.
I love them.
The only thing you don't like is the money about it.
Say, you're right. The only thing that keeps me from having one is I'm
just
a tad too frugal. But frugality can get you in trouble. So I pull up to this house, and the roof is gorgeous. I'm having roof lust, if there's such
okay.
a thing.
All right, okay, that's a problem.
Yeah, so they got a leak in the house, and
yes.
Okay, show me where it's coming in. They show me where it's coming into the master bedroom, and that's always where they leak. Right, it has to drip right on your pillow.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, we get talking about the installation of this metal roof, and they made the decision to save money. I'm all for frugal, but sometimes it can get you. And they did not remove the original asphalt shingle roof.
Uh-oh.
So here they are. They spent truly high dollars to have this wonderfully beautiful roof installed, and they didn't pull the old roof off. When you pull the old roof off, it lets you do several things. One, you can get a good eyeball on the roof deck and the sheathing to be sure there's no rot, there's no damage. That's easy to fix then. That's good. The next is get that secondary water membrane on. Sometimes you hear that brand name peel and stick.
Yeah.
It's an adhering membrane. It gives you a discount on your insurance. And if water ever gets under the metal, it's not going to get wet. It's almost like having a wetsuit on top of your house. And it also, by getting that old roof off there, it lets the fasteners get a better bite into the sheathing. Well, they didn't do that. And the consequence of that is somewhere on that metal roof, something was leaking. That was only problem number one. Now it gets onto that old asphalt roof, and it has to find another place to leak. The troubleshooting to locate what should be a simple source of leakage is amazingly complex when you do that sort of stuff. And we were never able to really pinpoint the source the way we can use an infrared when they don't have that multiple layer complexity. So we were still able to isolate it to a region, which made it less expensive to pull it off and figure it out. But just keep that in mind that, yes, we're big advocates of frugality. At the same time, if you get too frugal, it can cost you huge dollars a little bit later. And I reckon you see the same thing when people are making landscape decisions.
Hey, Wally. Yeah, absolutely. You know, I know that you're a frugal guy, but the other day I was at Affordable Water. You know, I'd done some work for them, and they gave me some samples of their drinking water with their filtration system. You know, it was unbelievable. It tastes just like, and they said it was as good as any bottled water, you know. So, you know, you could save a lot of money on that, Wally. You know what I mean?
Truth is, it's probably better than bottled water.
Yeah, because it doesn't, it's not in the plastic reader. Bottle.
I'm a label reader, and the majority of bottled water is just tap water stuck in a toxic bottle. I don't
like
bottled water other than the strangest things.
And it would taste it tastes just like the real McCoy. I mean, in pennies versus, you know, $3 for a bottle or $2 for a bottle, you know.
Yep, and depending on the system you choose,
you can
do softening, you can do filtration. There's so many different things you can do to get your water to perform exactly the way you want.
Right, exactly.
If you want soft flowing hair, you can do that. If it's about taste, you can do that. If you're looking to manage the smell or scent, you can do that.
Right.
And they're in a very consultative position. They're in a high trust position with me. Right. They've been there on Corey forever.
Right.
You know, local folks, nice folks, and
right.
Yeah, I'm real comfortable yep. there. I'm glad you met them.
Well, if you're interested, you know, you can give them a call at 262-0197. Great premium water softener services. But it was interesting. I drank the stuff and it tastes H2O. Pure H2O, the water boy. All right.
Why don't you set me up a cup of coffee over there, man, and I can try out my
okay.
organic decaf with some affordable water.
Yeah, that's it right there. But it was you know, going to save you a lot of money. Okay.
I can't think of too many things I enjoy more.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Hey, you know, when you're going into the garden now, into landscape, and you have a lot of these overgrown shrubs, this is the opportunity to cut them down to the ground. I mean, those big viburnums, Viburnum otissimus, Viburnum suspensum, even boxwood, you could, if they've gotten too big, you can cut them down to the ground. How big can you cut them down to the ground, boxwoods? About 10 inches from the ground.
Really?
Yeah, you can have a severe cutback right now when it's cold. So the key thing is make sure that you know the plant is healthy before you do that, and also putting a good amount of fertilizer on them. You know, say a boxwood that's around, say 3 feet tall, you want to put maybe a handful around there, maybe two handfuls, but, you know, around, not on top of the plant, but around the root area, which is around 24 inches out, and spread it out thinly. And then the viburnum, you know, again, you want regrowth quickly. It's a great time to do put a little bit of fertilizer on those, trim them back. So, Britt, if you want that severe reduction, that's just knock them down, you know, to 10 inches. I've taken viburnum and, you know, cut, they were 6 foot, and cut them down to around 18 inches, and they came right back with new growth. So this is the opportunity to get that done. Also, you know, this is a key time to get your landscape and your garden started. You also want to consider cutting back your roses, a severe cutback, you know, cut them down. Because we have that long growing season, you know, we have 9 months of growing. They'll be 10 feet by the time the season's over. You know, if you live in Maine or Massachusetts, they barely get up to 6 feet. So cut back, a severe cutback. Miracle-Gro rose fertilizer, fish emulsion, some compost, you know, blood meal, all this. Make it rich for the roses so they can get through that season of heat and produce for you. So that's a great
idea. I may
great,
take that to heart. Yeah. Let's jump over to Fleming Island, check in with Terry and see if we can help him with pergola installation. Terry, welcome to the Home and Garden Show.
Thank you. Hey, I have a question.
Sure.
I'm adding on to my deck. I have pavers. I'm adding on to the pavers in my backyard. And The pergola that I have now is going to be too small, so I want to build a bigger one, 12 by 12.
Yeah,
nice.
And I want to use 6x6s. I had 4x4s before, and they were anchored into the pavers with these metal anchors. Well, anyways,
right.
They don't make those for 6x6s. Do the 6x6s? Do I have to anchor them? If I just sat them on top of the pavers, would that be strong enough? And the reason I say that, I saw a pergola at Sam's Club that had 6x6s, and they had it on a display. And I asked the guy, I said, well, how do you put these in the ground? He said, well, they set flat on a patio or whatever. So I figured I'd ask the experts, you guys, is if I built it and didn't anchor it, would it be structurally sound?
Well, that's a great question. Of course, you know, we get high winds here, and you don't want that thing moving around. It's going to weigh a couple thousand pounds for sure,
right,
when you get it all assembled. What I would do is I would get a hammer drill and get a large bit. This is how I've built my arbor. I got a large bit and drilled into concrete, and got a galvanized pipe. I matched the bit size to the galvanized rod size, and I drilled into the, got through past the concrete, and I pounded it down, and then I drilled a straight hole in the post. Okay, and then I put the post on top of the rod. It's going to be a little bit, it's going to have some, you know, flexibility because it's a rod. Yeah, but, you can, once you assemble the top portion and tie the top portion down, it's strong, okay, because you have that angle there. But that's a way to mount it with having to pull up the pavers. Just get through the concrete, get a galvanized rod, pound it around 2 to 3 feet, and then put a hole on the bottom, make sure it's centered and straight. You got to make sure it's straight. You know, there is some forgiveness there, but, I mean, you want to make sure you get that done. I just wouldn't put up a pergola without anchoring it. You know what I mean? Because just any kind of stress, you know, moving or anything like that, it's not a good idea. Then also,
that idea. I think that's what I'll do. Let me ask you something real quick.
Sure.
My sister's trees are starting to put out new leaves, I noticed.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Is it too early to trim them still, or when should I trim them?
Well, you know, that's a $50 million question. You know, in North Florida, we're 80 degrees, and then it could drop to, 20. You know, citrus are really prone to, if you get, overzealous and start pruning early, and we have a late freeze, that new growth is all going to die, because it's very sensitive to cold that hasn't hardened off. So I always tell people to wait until March. To march to get to start pruning, to get any severe reduction. Great. All right?
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Terry. You know, the real consideration, too, when you buy a portable pergola, it's all been pre-manufactured, and they slide it off a truck.
Right.
That thing was intended as a standalone structural item.
Right.
So if you're looking at a plan that you picked out in a magazine, more than likely, it was intended to be properly anchored.
Right.
Have you had any luck, Larry, at Simpson Lawrence? They make a tie down or a connector for almost everything from a birdhouse up to a bridge.
You can get a tie down for a 6x6. I don't know where you're looking at, but you can get a Simpson. They make them for 6x6.
Yeah.
I've used them.
Both. There you go. So he could solve his problem, looking in that direction too, or design something that's intended to be portable and then anchor it much like you'd anchor
the,
a mobile home.
The rod is much more stronger, and then if you could put a little coating on the end grain, it's it keeps it from rotting.
Have you had any luck using the augers to auger those anchors right down in the ground?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
That's another route he could go, is to auger it, strap it just like you would a mobile home, and if you're thoughtful with it, you won't even see the anchors.
Also, this time of the year, we're talking about pergolas and our wood construction outdoor products. It's a good time of the year to get the deck cleaned, put some light bleach on it, light detergent, or you can get some algicide, spray Roundup on it. Shouldn't say that word now, I guess.
I don't think it says that on the label.
Yeah. Well, it's a plant. Algae is a plant, so you can get rid of the plant. But the key thing is when you're selecting, when you're pressure washing, don't get aggressive. Let the detergent and the cleaner do the work. And if it doesn't get it done the first time, do it again and again and again until you get it clean. But a lot of times people get way, way, way aggressive with the pressure washer and they blow out the soft wood. That's good. The soft wood is the stuff that you in between the grain marks. Okay.
Yeah, we see people do that same amount of damage when they put the pressure washer on the houses, blowing the granules off the roof, breaking seals on windows.
Right.
I think you should need to have a concealed weapons permit in order to buy a pressure washer.
Right. And then you get to the what is the best sealant, okay? Of course, Thompson Water Seal has a good reputation. They've been around. You want something with UV light protector in there, and it spares the wood. The sun is just as hard on the wood than the weather, the water and all the other things.
Oh, yeah.
But, the most, even though that solvent-based, preservatives have fallen out of grace because of the difficulty of cleaning up in the application, they are better. They are better because they penetrate into the wood. Well, the water base is less, doesn't penetrate as deeply into the surface of the wood that you're going to get as a solvent base. So
I thought sure you were going to suggest use motor oil is your favorite trick.
Well, motor oil is a good, not a bad idea. That will probably.
That's a horrible idea. Don't do that.
Yeah, but
we've got to take a brief break.
Okay.
Right back.
Okay.
It's 750 or News 104.5 on the Home and Garden Show. Very brief break. Right back to the Home and Garden Show featuring you. at 340-1045. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Home and Garden Show. It is 7:55 here at News 104.5. I'll miss the final segment of the Home and Garden Show. A reminder, you can find Larry online, larrysgarden.com. Me, Wally Conway, easy to find, gohomepro.com. Heading over to Mandarin, checking in with Nancy, who's in the Christmas spirit, apparently, with a question on her poinsettias. Welcome, Nancy.
Hello.
Hello, Nancy.
Enjoy your show.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Wanted to know... 2 years ago, I have several poinsettia bushes that I planted together for, you know, after Christmas.
Sure.
And it's about six feet tall. Mm-hmm. And 2 years ago, I think it might have been too much water that it got. It just didn't do well that year. And then this year, I did not cover it during the freezes.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, it's pretty...
toasted.
Yeah. I'm wondering, you know, there's nothing green on it at all, of course. Should I just cut it all the way back, halfway back, or...
Yeah, I'd cut it. If you could scratch the stems, you know, with your either something sharp or your fingernail, and you'll see green, 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 green. If it's all the way brown to the bottom, then cut that all off, and and then give it some Miracle-Gro, not the rose fertilizer, but then a little bit of fish mulch, and it should come right back. Did you have a good layer of mulch around the base of it?
Actually, I have a fair. A fair bunch of mulch around.
Okay, that protected the crown and should come right back, no problem.
So how far down can I cut once
I'd actually, if it's green all the way to the base, you know, I would cut it down to maybe 6 to 10 inches off the ground, you know, and they're fairly fast growers, and then you'll get a lot more growth. You know, you know how poinsettias get a little leggy here because, you know, they get thinned on the bottom. So that will give you a compact-looking plant again. All right?
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
All right, thanks. Have a good day.
Thanks. All right. Hey, Larry, got to give a final shout-out to our producer, Scott. I was nervous. Could we pull this together with me being in the Bahamas and you being in Jacksonville without even thinking that our producer, Scott, is the same guy that manages to produce a Jaguars game all the way from London. So him taking care of us this weekend was well below his skill set, and it's a whole new level for you and I. So
anything's a whole new level for you, Wally. All right. Okay. Thank you for having us. We appreciate it.
Fox News Traffic and Weather, have a beautiful day. Use your turn signal.